met by Shannon. Oh, what a move by Walker, breaking ankles, and then knocks it down.
Well, if you want to be a good team, you got to beat other good teams. We're realistic that we have a lot to work on, and that's a good thing.
Dale Arnold.
Robert Kraft has continued to say, you know, he wants Tom to experience this, but I'm not sure football operations feels the same way. I'm sure they want to know who their quarterback is going to be before you head into free agency.
Rich Keefe.
You know, that this didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Guys don't get suspended for something that didn't impact the game.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Mr. Hart.
Just to go roof daddy.
Okey-dokey-cloakety.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe. And Andy Hart's in the house because his name is Andy Hart, in case you forget.
Just an open book, Dale. I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
There was a while I thought of doing, you know how a lot of writers do first initial, middle name, like, last name?
Wait. Like Kevin Paul DuPont or?
No. Nope. But some people do.
You mean like
initial.
Initial?
So I was thinking of going.
Like who's an example of that?
I don't know. Look it up.
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yes, thank you.
C. Trent Rosencrantz from Cincinnati.
I was thinking of going.
D. Everett Arnold.
There you go.
A. Roger Hart. What do you think? You think that would
get A. More click? Roger Hart?
Roger.
Your middle
that.
Name is Roger?
Yeah, you got a problem with it.
No, I think
yeah,
Andrew.
I mean, what would be the problem with that?
Sean just wanted to talk.
What's your middle name? Yeah, what's your middle name?
David.
David?
Boring.
Yeah. What's the difference between David Roger. Or Roger?
But if you,
I mean, they're
if
both
you
first
saw,
names.
If you saw Chris,
Roger.
If you saw Christopher D. Scheim, you'd go, oh, this guy means business.
What's the D mean?
What's this guy? No, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that.
Well,
you
that's what everybody know. Says to Curran.
It's a big D.
Tom E. Curran.
D minus.
Excuse me?
I always use. I use.
Clean it up.
The capital D when I sign my name.
Oh, you're a capital
I got
D.
it.
I use the middle initial, like, for my Twitter handle. And I when I sign my name, I always put my middle initial, but I don't call
oh,
myself
really?
Dale
in
E.
Arnold. Your signature? So if
yes,
I were to get
always.
A Dale Arnold signature, there'd
it,
be an
it
E
would
in
say
there.
Dale E. Arnold.
He didn't give you a copy of the book with a sign?
You know, he did. I guess I didn't look at it.
I just wrote Dale.
Oh. Yeah.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Good point.
I don't know. That one's interesting because he's not going Thomas E. Curran. It's like super formal. It's sort of like a mullet, right? He's like kind of. He's like Tom. You can call me Tom,
but it's also but weird because Tommy
is also a name,
is a
yeah.
you know loose sort of short term.
Yeah,
oh,
what
Tommy.
Does it mean?
You know,
what
people that talk Brady call him Tommy.
Do you think he ever considered Tommy E. Curran?
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Hard to say.
My butt,
all right, it's fine.
He used to say the E stood for everything.
I wonder if that's true.
I can't understand why he doesn't say that anymore. Yeah. Probably dumb the first few times he said it.
Oh, so you have a Sherrod Blakely is an
yeah,
example
a,
of that.
That might have been new in the Sherrod local Blakely. Market, made yeah. me think of it, if I would. Because it seems like a
now,
thing.
Now, in conversation, could you ever just call him A?
Or
because
I've
you? Been on
A.
I've been on set with him before. And
you
just,
yelled A?
I call him Sherrod.
Everybody
but,
does.
But would it be okay to call him A?
Why not?
I think you probably should.
And, Dale, you may know this better than I. Is it true that Kevin Paul DuPont, prior to working at the Globe, was just Kevin DuPont?
he got a middle name when he went
actually
to the Globe.
Started
well, you become
using,
a little more.
No, yeah, they do. They do pitch
when he was in
there.
Hartford, he was Kevin DuPont.
Okay.
And then he went
and then
to
he married
Philadelphia.
Someone named Paul.
No. Then he went to Philadelphia. I think the Paul happened in Philadelphia, if I remember right.
Okay.
Before he came here.
Because it feels like you're adding
it was not
a
Boston Globe
yeah.
affectation.
Hoity-toity. It's like, I could go to school and get my doctorate, or I could just start using my middle name.
Right.
What's more impressive?
And what's easier?
Yeah, right.
Let's be honest. What's yeah. easier?
It's cheaper, too.
But why would you have your initial in your signature? Isn't that like an
I
added
don't I don't
pain
know.
In the ass?
It is, an and extra I can't explain it. I just
a cursive E
have
is
always
fun,
done
I suppose.
Because I don't want to give people the ability to counterfeit anything for me, but my signature has shortened greatly over the years.
Just A-H.
It was like Andrew, the full name.
Oh.
Now it's down to like
Scribble.
A-N yeah. Scribble yeah. Hart.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't want to add it because a middle initial, you got to like pick the pen up, put it back
oh,
down.
Oh, God.
Pick
it's it, up again.
It looks fancier.
Do you put a period?
I do.
So you have a
how
first
many
name
autographs
and name
are you doing, Sam?
A lot.
You do a lot of autographs?
Yeah, whenever I write a check.
You write a lot of checks?
Our autographs?
What year is this? No, Shime's out there just writing
checks. Don't write a check like, your body
I think
can't find.
I write
find,
like
Eric,
two checks a month.
Yeah, I don't
oh,
write
I would
many.
Say a year for me.
I ordered checks a while ago, and they're just piled
they
up in the corner.
They stay forever.
Oh, they're useless.
Yeah.
Called, like, rent and stuff. You know, I...
And is a signature the same as an autograph?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the
so.
Same thing.
Yeah.
No, see, because I...
What? Yeah, of course it is.
Dale, do you do your signature and your autograph the same?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they are the same.
I don't.
Oh, that's you have a fancy weird. Autograph, do you? Do you put
yeah,
like,
I do cursive do like for my signature.
Do you put, like, a
they're
heart?
Cursive.
like in,
oh, he does draw a heart.
He tries a heart on it.
He writes Andy and then does a heart
with a little smiley face
around the
Andy.
What's wrong with that?
Maybe an arrow through it.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Very judgmental.
It's actually quite nice.
But no, when I sign the autograph, I use a like Atlanta Braves A.
Who the hell has asked for your autograph?
They're few and far between, but they have.
Nobody. He's just done it for his son.
He practices.
He offers them.
He's got a whole notebook full of it.
He goes to his kid. Hey, here you go. Hold on to this.
We had very loyal readers and listeners at the old place. They would ask for autographed copies of the paper.
How many EEI listeners have asked?
Zero.
Yeah. You gotta really earn their trust here.
Okay.
They're not quite
sooner
as,
or later, maybe a kid will ask. A little kid.
Sure, I'm pretty sure I've been asked for more autographs than Andy Hart.
That's true. He's giving out winners.
Well, not in
left,
life.
Right, center.
In life, I've signed a lot of them.
I don't know. I've signed a lot of karaoke autographs.
Oh, jeez. With a big D in the middle.
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his signature.
I still
Dale, why are you shaking your head and rolling your eyes?
I just want to see Andy's signature with the big heart, the little smiley face.
Well, you should ask him for it. Maybe during the break.
That'd be
you can
so
ask him
cool
one.
If you did it that way.
That'd be nice.
One quick thing before we get to the calls. Myles Garrett just got unsuspended by the National Football League. Good for him. But I would suggest maybe what he doesn't want to do is do what he did yesterday. He's doing an interview with Mina Kimes on ESPN, on-camera interview. And not only did he you know, not step away from what he says happened, but in this Myles Garrett number one here, he doubles down on this thing.
I mean, coming off the edge, there's probably like 10, there's less than 15 seconds left, I remember that. And I didn't want to be on the field, but you know, since I was already out there, they were still throwing the ball. Decided I was going to go make a play. So he still had the ball. He's winding back to throw. I'm going, you know, to hit him in the strike zone. No, I'm not trying to do anything illegal. I should go to take him down. He said some words as we're going down.
What did he say to you?
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A.
I mean, he just got reinstated by the National Football League.
Yeah, but if that's true, why wouldn't you say it?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure at this point what he, other than I guess trying to, you know, clobber Mason Rudolph, you know, and trying to destroy him. What's to be gained by it?
But it's not his job to protect Mason Rudolph.
Why? What does he care about Mason Rudolph?
I'm talking about him. What's to be gained for him?
Well, for some people, it will say, I can see why you lost your mind.
Right. Well, he said this before when he got suspended.
Yeah, but now he's sitting down, choosing his words carefully. He's facing the camera. I mean, it's believable, right?
Right.
Now, I don't know. Is there a gray area? Could there be a confusion? The thing a couple weeks ago with the anchor and it was the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, is there a gray area here? Like, there was a gray area there because people heard different things.
Yeah.
Or didn't hear what some people heard, I guess would be. Is there a gray area?
There could be. I mean, on the field, it's not like you're going to hear everything super clear. Maybe it's in the wrong other direction.
That,
I don't know.
That particular word, it's not like, you know, there's a word that sounds like that that could have been used. I mean,
unlikely. I just feel like if it's the truth, I have no problem with them saying it. But if it is.
But it has to be the truth. You have to be sure.
Yeah.
Because that's like a rape allegation. You have made an allegation here that will stay with Mason Rudolph forever.
Exactly.
Whether it's true or not.
But if he's saying,
it's staying with him.
But also, what's staying with him is he's the guy who hit another guy with his helmet in the face, and you're saying, all right, well, why did you do that? Just because you lost your mind and the game was out of hand? Or because he said that to you? And if he said that to you, go for it.
Now, when he made the allegations originally, Mason Rudolph obviously denied them vehemently. But Mason Rudolph's teammates who were on the field with him, some of whom were African-American, said, no, he didn't say that. Never heard him say that. I mean, they...
But it is possible. I mean, are you not close enough to hear that as he hits him and we're rolling on the ground?
Right.
There's only one person going to hear it. So it's a he said, he said.
Right, if you're kind of helmet to helmet before it's ripped off, by the way.
Right.
Like, nobody else is going to be able to hear that.
Yeah,
that's one where it's hard to have a real strong opinion on it only because I don't know if it's true or not. So it's very simple. If it's true, I have no problem with him bringing it up again. He's doing an interview. He just got reinstated. He said something to me. Mina Kimes is the one that followed up and said, what was it? It's not like he sat down in the interview and he's like, Mason Rudolph, racist. Like, he was asked about it. He answered. And if it's true, I say good for him. But if he's lying, it's one of, as Andy Hart said, one of a handful of things, like the worst thing to lie about and to put on somebody if it's not true.
Especially the way he you know, portrays it. He doesn't even like the word because you get into that whole discussion. You know, it's used in the locker room. Who's
some
allowed
guys
to
it's
use
okay,
it?
Sometimes
who
not,
can't but... use it? And he says, I don't even like that word in general. I wouldn't use that word. And he used it toward
now,
me.
Now, Mike Pouncey, who was Mason Rudolph's center and who was literally trying to grab Myles Garrett. I mean, he was the other guy in the shot. He was literally right there and said, no, that didn't happen. Now, maybe you're just sticking up for a teammate. I understand. Maybe you are.
And the idea that they've never heard him say that, well, I'm sure there's some people in my life that have used that word that I've never heard him use that word. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you don't know what a person says in any given situation.
But also, it means something different to everybody. And I believe in that whole Richie Incognito story, wasn't it like Richie Incognito would use that word with Mike Pouncey, and Mike Pouncey didn't care that Incognito did with him.
Right.
And not that I'm saying Mason Rudolph has a pass, but apparently at least one white guy that we know did have a, I don't know. I'm just saying maybe he didn't hear it, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
But yeah, I agree with you, Rich. If that's what happened, if that's what Myles Garrett believes would happen, I don't think he should feel the need to not express it, to somehow protect Mason
Rudolph. Man, you better be right about it.
You 100%.
You gotta be right about it.
You can't even be Christian Fourier 99.6. No, you need to be 100.
And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he is absolutely positively convinced that what he's saying is the truth.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to assume that nobody would use that accusation that they knew wasn't the truth.
But does it make it okay? You gave him carte blanche. If that's what was said and that's what you heard, have at it, do what you need to do. Does that really excuse it?
No.
You know, the old sticks and stones will break my bone.
Hit some guy over the head with his own
helmet. So you killed a man because he said a word to you.
No.
Because
he
could have killed him.
It doesn't. I was saying that, like, I half believe it because it's like, all right, that's at least what set you off. But you're, of course, going to get suspended. You're hurting your team. Like, there's all these other things. And that's not the best way to respond.
Questioning coaching why he's even on the field.
Yeah, that was a weird part. But, like, that's how you would want to respond. That's probably how a lot of us would want to respond. Again, pick whatever it might be that would offend you the most possible. That's how you would probably want to respond. But you're right. It doesn't make
now,
it necessarily
Mina Kimes
right.
followed up, which she should be. She's a good reporter. And she pointed out to Myles Garrett that the league, when they investigated this, couldn't find any evidence.
Most quarterbacks wear mics in their helmets. He's somehow lost his helmet and had to get another one.
You hit him with it.
Without a mic. There were guys who were mic'd up near me and near us during that time who didn't hear anything. And from what I've heard, there have been audio during that game that could have heard something or could not have heard something, but no, they don't want to say. So something was said. I know something was said. Now, whether the NFL wants to acknowledge it, that's up to them, but I don't want to make it a racial thing, honestly. It's over with for me, and I'm pretty sure it's over with for Mason, so we just want to move past that and keep on playing football.
It's definitely not over for Mason now.
It was over. Bringing it back
and
up.
That's the bombshell cut right there. Forget about what was or wasn't said.
He's claiming the league is covering it up.
Yeah.
That they've got evidence.
Which is way worse.
Covering it up.
One person who may or may not be a racist or have used a racial epithet. Is that the word?
Yes, good job.
He's a writer.
Is an issue. But now you have the idea that the league, and oh, by the way, isn't the first time there's been racial allegations thrown toward the Steelers? I believe AB threw some of those out there, and now, not a great source, and tirades. And now I'm to believe that someone at NFL Films, someone at a league level, the one thing I will question is, quarterbacks don't have mics in their helmet.
No, they do not.
They have
earpieces. They do not have mics.
The mics go through their shoulder pads. There's a battery pack in their pad, and it's all below.
So I was going to say, I don't know. This was a Thursday night game, I believe, so he could have been mic'd up. You know,
No,
Sam
I'm
Donald
talking about the
up.
Actual play, because he says he lost his helmet. He has a different helmet, so maybe he doesn't have
the
mic.
So that part, maybe he just doesn't know.
Well, if you don't know, then you shouldn't be just throwing things out there when you are accusing someone of essentially being a racist.
Now, he also claims...
But it's not racial.
He also claimed to Mina Kimes, believe it or not, that he wished this stuff hadn't leaked out.
Because I didn't want to try to use it as justification for my actions, because there's nothing to justify. Like, there's nothing that I can say or do to justify what I did on that day. I'm not saying there's nothing to justify it, and I didn't do anything wrong. And I know what I know what happened. I know what I heard. And people say things, you know, when they're heated or they're full of emotion, and I leave it on the field. He said it, but that was 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Now I leave that behind.
He is all over the map.
Yeah, he kind of is.
You didn't leave it on the field. You brought it to ESPN.
Right, but he
that's
was
the opposite of leaving it on the field.
But he was saying he should have, and now that that's already out, then obviously Mina Kimes is going to ask him in his
now
first
what
interview.
What he could have done, and I'm not saying he should. It's up to him how he wants to handle it. When she first brought it up, it probably, and I'm just saying a possibility is, listen, all of that's been discussed. I've served my suspension. There's nothing to be gained right by talking about that now.
Instead, he brought up the word. Mm-hmm. He accused the league sort of vaguely of covering it up.
That's actually the worst part of
yes
what he said.
Do you think the league would? I do. I don't think they would.
I don't, because if they got caught, you know, in this day and age, the way everybody's got this and that, and they say, nope, nothing to see here, and then somebody drops an audio tape on TMZ.
Some parabolic
But that's the thing. Like, did they know about Kareem Hunt? Did they know about Ray Rice? Did they know about some of these guys and just look the other way until it got exposed? Yes, I think so. So I think they would. I don't necessarily think they would do it for Mason Rudolph. And I do think it's about, if it was Ben Roethlisberger, let's just take their own quarterback there on that team, a bigger star. I think that's more damning
the
than
star
the
star in this is Garrett.
Garrett's the best player in this situation.
He's
for sure.
He's a defensive player of the year type, a number one overall pick. The star in this scenario, if you want to go old school, is not the white pretty boy quarterback or whatever. It's the pass rusher here that, if anything, you'd want to protect that.
Oh, he's the huge star.
Who's the better chance
NFL
of being relevant in 3 years, Mason Rudolph or Myles Garrett?
Oh, Myles Garrett's a legitimate defensive
correct
player of the year candidate.
So
Mason Rudolph's probably not a starting quarterback.
This is
in the
all
NFL
over the place,
he
this story. And he did the opposite of leave it on the field, though. He just took it off the field, put a match down, then poured gasoline on top of it, and then said, I didn't really want to start a fire, but I just figured, you know.
Yeah, I don't really know what the approach is.
Jim Crane somewhere is like, I don't think you're handling this well.
The Astros PR guy's like, Miles, we can do you
come over here.
No problem.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. An hour from now, Kiefer Madness is our week in review. 2 hours from now, at about 1:30, Michael Irvin will join us. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
By the way, in the 25, 26 hours since the big Houston Astros press conference, the public opinion of their performance has skyrocketed, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think people are feeling pretty good and ready to move towards the 2020 season.
They
nothing to see here.
Have been trashed.
Should I share another one of the five from the Fast Friday Five?
Friday Five. So it's not just football, huh?
Wow.
Oh, no.
It's a real grab bag.
It's not just Boston sports.
Is this the official theme song to the Fast Five?
It's not bad.
Johnstown, this is the Fast Five theme from
Fast and Furious Five.
This Fast Nine is coming out this year.
You like
year
those movies?
They're actually pretty good.
I kind of like them all.
Yeah, I don't mind them at all.
They're pretty good. Like, if you're going in just for like a legit popcorn movie.
But the one next year, Rock's not in.
No, but John Cena is.
Cena
well,
is.
No, because he broke off into the
he
Hobbs
and Jason Statham
and,
did Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
So those guys weren't in it. But overall, they are pretty good.
Yeah,
they're,
I like
mean, they're dumb, but they're fun.
Right.
You I like dumb movies sometimes.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
It's all I watch.
Popcorn movies. All right, back to your...
I think the reason that Jim Crane contradicted himself is my same theory as to why the Red Sox could so emphatically say that they beat the Dodgers on the up and up.
Why, they just lie to themselves?
Everybody's doing it.
Oh, God.
It's the whole argument. If we're all doing it, is it really impacting the game? Is it cheating? Just because I do it a little bit better, just because I had two schemes that were competing, one led by some geek intern and one led by Carlos Beltran, we did it a little bit better. But we're all doing it. Was Lance Armstrong cheating better than the others? But were they all cheating?
Yeah, but I don't think his are on the up and up. I don't think his gold jackets.
No, but
are
you
over
can't
the hell
articulate necessarily.
Gold jerseys, I guess.
Gold jerseys.
Right?
Yeah. Gold I don't count.
He's in Canton.
Yeah. Pro Football
Well, he
Hall
was
famer
juiced up enough. He might be.
He,
able
could,
to,
he probably could run through
I
a wall.
I think that's
for
why
you
everybody is struggling with this. AJ Hinch and everybody to speak specifically, because I'm sure Rob Manfred has said absolutely no one will use the phrase "everyone was doing it." Right. He can't.
He
because they're trying
not
to contain
this. Investigate all every team.
This was going to be just Houston. Then it was just going to be Houston and a little Alex Cora
no,
mixed in.
Don't you look at this as Barry Bonds is the home run all time home run king? Most people look at that and say, I don't know. But he wasn't the only guy using steroids. So the Astros, I look at them and say, they 2017 World Series champion. I'm not taking it away from them, but I'm going to look at it and go, I don't know.
See, the I don't know is fine, but to say flat out that they won because of this, that there was a direct connect of impact.
Yeah.
And I know the numbers and everything.
Because I don't know who would have won it had they not been or had anybody not been cheating. We don't know what that would have been like.
Right. Like my theory with steroids was always, whatever, if you take everybody off of them, then Barry Bonds is still really good because he's not 70 home runs. He's 40 home runs. This one. Okay, if I take everybody, I take all their cameras and their buzzers and whatever they had away, their trash cans and everybody, no one knows what's coming.
But do you think every single
team... The good hitter is still the good hitter.
Do you think every single team had a camera placed on, you know, from center field and from pitch one knew what was coming?
I don't know. See, that's the issue.
I would find that hard to believe.
I find it hard to believe that every team...
Did it that way.
Did every team try to steal signals?
Yes.
Of course. And it's legal in some instances, depending on how you do it.
Right.
Do I think every team in Major League Baseball had this kind of scheme?
No.
And to take it one step further, and we keep hearing conflicting reports about the Red Sox investigation, John Heyman tweeted out early this morning, "The report on the Red Sox is expected to come from MLB by the end of the month. The allegations against them are far less egregious than the ones that resulted in MLB's report and punishments in the Astros case." So, you know, for those folks who are saying, see, the Red Sox, too, they were doing the same thing. According to John Heyman and others, no, they weren't doing the same thing.
Yeah, but if you believe it, have you lost some faith in the credibility of this investigation along the way?
I don't know how much I had to begin with.
Right?
I mean, you have to have lost
some faith in it, because if they were trying to cover it up, and it certainly feels like there was some containment plan or cover-up plan here, they haven't done a really good job of doing it. We continue to get more information. We continue to get too many people talking about too many things.
Yeah.
And I wrote this. This was the final. Like, they need to just make this into the sign-stealing era. Like, that it had a start and a finish, and we've moved on.
And we've changed the rules.
Everything's,
we weren't too strict on it, and now we are, and we're moving on. You got to do it that way.
Because I firmly believe they did that with the steroid era, and some people think the steroid era was shorter than it actually was.
Oh, yeah. It's probably still going on.
Correct. So the fact that people say, you know, back in the steroid era, oh, you don't believe it still goes on? That's good for us.
So let me know if you think this is an admission of guilt. Jackie Bradley Jr., Red Sox center fielder, was on the Greg Hill Show earlier this morning talking about sign stealing.
You know, I just learned about this whole sign stealing once I got to the big leagues.
Yeah.
So it's not something that I've done for a long time. It was
eye-opening. All I need to hear. Do you think he's talking about, obviously they're stealing signs, but do you think he let it slip a little bit there that they're stealing signs illegally?
Well, I think that's back to Dale's
thing. I'll play devil's advocate. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's all I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Stealing signs is legal in some instances. What's illegal is the use of electronics.
Right.
And
so Jackie Bradley,
so if you're standing at second base going, oh, look, two means two and a tap on the shin pad.
So Jackie Bradley never got to second base in his career before he got to Fenway Park.
Yeah, so
he never stood on, never doubled, and somebody else was up and never looked and said, hey, he put down a one.
Yeah,
like,
so
he literally put one sign, a one. Fastball.
Yeah. So how did you guys win the College World Series if you weren't stealing signs?
But it was a scandal locally, remember? New Hampshire and Rhode Island.
No, Goffstown got screwed.
Oh, yeah,
screwed. Yeah, my team got screwed by Rhode Island.
So
they're a bunch of cheaters.
It's either naive to think he never thought of stealing signs in Little League, Pony League, High School, Legion, College.
Yeah.
Or he meant, well, I didn't really learn about, like, major league
signs. Yeah, how they were
stealing.
Doing it here.
No,
yeah.
Right. And I honestly think that's what he meant. Was
I
just
do
sort of like,
I was
we're
trying to give
in.
You the devil's advocate argument.
No, it's not even the devil's advocate. My original thing would be devil's advocate would be because he's, like, innocently enough to be like, oh, I didn't even know, but I've only been doing that for a little bit. Like,
it's not something that I've done for a long time.
Maybe he'd be a better hitter.
So he's saying he's doing it. Yeah, they're obviously not helping you out much. They're not tapping on the barrels for you at all, obviously.
So Jim Crane, who just made a fool of himself yesterday, at one point said, it didn't have any impact on the game. Okay, so if you go in your clubhouse and say to the Houston Astros pitchers, we're going to tell the hitter what pitch is coming this year, because it doesn't have an impact on the game.
No.
So we're just going to tell him. If it's fastball, you're going to tell him it's fastball. We're going to do that all year long. Tell me what his pitchers
would
say.
It's just all mixed messages, because it did have an impact.
Of course it did.
But you're trying.
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Except you did.
But then what they're doing is, because they want to make it look like, hey, guys, you know, fans, baseball's still on the up and up. These games aren't rigged. 2017, that was a legit World Series. So was 18. We're moving on. Should they have done this? No. Z, we're being honest. We shouldn't have done this. But it didn't impact. And then you got Jim Crane saying that the players really shouldn't be to blame at all. You know, this is all AJ Hinch and Alex Cora and the leadership. Not me leadership, even though I'm ahead of them, right. But you know, not me, but like that little middle ground there. And yet you make your players go up there and apologize. What are they apologizing for?
Because it didn't have an impact.
If it didn't have an impact and it wasn't their fault,
right?
Why are they apologizing? And every one of those guys apologized yesterday.
Yes.
Bregman and Altuve in front of everybody, but then George Springer and other guys were in the clubhouse afterwards. So if you add it all together, none of it makes sense. Like, why would you apologize for something that wasn't your fault and didn't even impact the game? And why is the manager fired if it didn't impact the game? And why is the GM gone? Like, none of it makes sense.
You know why?
Fall
Everybody's
guys.
Lying.
Well, yeah, they're lying.
Right? If everybody were telling the truth, I feel like everything would be consistent. These movies and they're doing the... Well, you said it was 4:30, then you said it was 4:45. Which was it? Yeah. Now that guy's the murderer. Like, he didn't know which time it was. He's the murderer.
Right. I also feel more confident than ever that the Red Sox may have wanted to keep Alex Cora, but it wasn't their decision. And Rob Manfred said, listen, we're going to protect all the players, but to let people know we mean business, we can't have AJ Hinch, Alex Cora, or Carlos Beltran, who, by the way, was a player and should be allowed to be employed, but we're gonna make sure those guys are away from the game, and that looks like we did something.
Our good friend Michael McCann, the superb sports law expert and UNH law professor, actually wrote a very lengthy piece about the lawsuit that's been filed in this case by the pitcher, Mike Bolsinger, Toronto Blue Jays pitcher. He wrote about the whole lawsuit, broke it all down, and he made a great point at the end of this lengthy piece that he published earlier this week. He said, the last thing in the world Major League Baseball or the Houston Astros want is pre-trial discovery.
Oh, yeah.
Scares the hell out of them. And it's why Mike Bolsinger, he wasn't even looking for anything for himself. He wanted them to give the $31 million they made for winning the World Series to charitable organizations. But the point here is, if Major League Baseball knows a lot more than they want out there, that they've put out there right now, Mike Bolsinger may force them to actually have to say under oath in a court of law what they really know.
Which is why, do you think there's any chance this costs Rob Manfred his job?
If it really
directly
spirals,
or indirectly.
Because no.
I think there's a chance. I think you he do? Has bungled a cover-up here. And the more it goes
Roger
down
Goodell
the road of courts.
Stuff. I guess it all just depends on how much money.
See, I think Roger Goodell nailed a cover-up. Patriots were found to be taping signals, and by Tuesday, all the evidence was burned, and we'd moved on.
No,
to
not that part. I'm saying, like, you're taking your best player to court, and you're going to do all. I just thought that was so
that one
dumb.
Was
that was bungled.
But see, that one was different because I don't think there was as much of a connection to this one in that I think the taping of the signals, the original Spygate, there was a hint of everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been doing it for years. You don't think Jimmy Johnson did this in Dallas for three Super Bowl titles?
Some coaches said they had done it.
Correct. And I think they wanted to squash that. And I think that's what you have an issue here. Not everybody. I kind of believed Terry Francona. He was on our station. And he
bristled at the idea.
He sounded very believable. I bought it. If I'm in the jury, I bought that he wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
But were 15 teams, 17 teams, 20 teams?
Well,
now, they were better.
Funny.
Some were better or worse.
So that's why I don't agree with you that all 30 were doing it. Because in one of the articles, I've read a million of them now. I forget which. It might have been a Rosenthal Drellick. But they were talking about, or maybe it was actually the Wall Street Journal article. And they were talking about how some of the lesser teams knew that the Astros were stealing signs, but wouldn't even change them because they were just so lazy at that point. So, like, the Blue Jays, it was the A's and, like, the Orioles. And you're like, so do you think they're really setting up all these cameras and going through that? They're not even willing to change their signs between innings. So
but the good teams were doing it.
The good teams were. Yeah.
Good teams go to the playoffs, face each other, and go to the World Series.
And it's a simple question. If there's no impact, as Jim Crane tried to imply or stated flat out, why were they doing it?
Well, there is an impact. Because if you don't do it, you lose out to the other team that's doing it. That would be my response. If I don't do it, I'm putting myself at a
competitive...
There's
no impact by doing it. And by the way,
no, you can't
asked, did you cheat? He said, well, we broke the rules.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Yes,
that's cheating.
That is cheating.
That's cheating.
Didn't impact the game.
Right. See, I think the impact he's saying is it directly impacts the pitcher and the batter. Right, it directly impacts the result of that.
It impacts the game.
No, because it directly impacts
I didn't say it did
their
impact
pitcher
the game.
And their batter. That's why it's a more of a level playing field because it's impacting all the pitchers to all the batters.
Yeah, but if one team's better at it, then it does.
And if one team has a much more elaborate scheme and much better technology, yes, there's a difference.
But they're both cheating.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, but we don't know who would have won the game had neither team been cheating. And so in this case, just like the steroid era players that were really good got in trouble and got maybe held out of the Hall of Fame, whereas there were plenty of steroid era guys that had a major league career that maybe they wouldn't have, and they just sort of skate by and they make their money and nobody really talks about them.
It's what I said last time. If the one guy's taking one steroid, and then the Jason Giambi where we hear he's stacking everything he could find.
Give me the cocktail.
They're both cheating. They are both. He may get more results, but he's taking the cheating to another level.
But it's not the same.
I don't know.
It's not the same. In the same way, there are different degrees of legal issues. You know, there's a difference between negligent homicide and first-degree murder. Somebody's still dead.
Ooh, that's dark.
But it's totally different.
Just talking baseball, Dale. Yeah, I'm just saying
the idea that well, it's still cheating is cheating. No, it's not the same.
I didn't say it was the same, but he is saying everybody was cheating. So let's, before you cast that first stone, let's remember that the teams we beat were doing some form of it too. And he probably doesn't know, right?
Well, maybe he claims assumes to not know what his team was doing.
No, I know. But maybe he assumes that the Dodgers are really good at it too, and the Red Sox are really good at it too. He doesn't know how much of an advantage he had because we're actually really good at it.
617-779-7937. We'll let you guys weigh in as well. Bottom of the next hour, Kiefer Madness, our week in review. And at 1:30, Michael Irvin joins us. Dale and Keith with Heart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
Once I spent some time there, understood what was happening. I wish I had said more. And looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I had said more, and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
Speculation about wearable devices and buzzers. Did you see any of that?
Absolutely not. No,
in the 2019 season.
Absolutely not. I'm in that locker room. You know, I see these guys after the game. You know, before the game, dressing and undressing, and I never saw anything like that.
I know that Kurt Schilling appeared on our sister station, WFAN in New York, and was asked, do you think that players were wearing buzzers, wearable device? He said, absolutely they were. He said, and the denial of it is, his term, not mine, is BS.
Yeah.
Only he said it.
So how can he know that?
That was George Springer, by the way, right?
Right.
At least Springer said absolutely not. And again, either you can take him at his word or not, whereas a guy like Altuve said, well, it's not in the report, or that they haven't found anything. Like, not that they can prove. I mean,
but isn't he the smart one? Actually,
Altuve,
he can't be proven wrong. It's not in the report.
No, but at least Springer's answer is at least, like, I don't know.
But how can Schilling say it so definitively? Is this just what he heard? Again, we get back to our original Fourier question.
There has been a lot of photographic video type things
of
that have
wrinkles.
Been, but not just that.
Yeah, it looks like everybody. It looks
and
like
a piece
I'm mic'd
confetti.
Up right now.
When you see Altuve hit the walk-off home run and cross home plate,
he's shot.
His
wife got mad at him.
And didn't want to rip his jersey.
And you believe that, right?
Yeah, guys are weird. Who knows?
There is nobody who believed his story.
No.
He was obvious. Now, knowing what we know now, you look at it and you say, of course he's telling him, don't tear the jersey off. I got something on here.
But you couldn't sell yourself on that's just like this weird clubhouse thing where you ripped it off last time and he's like, now he's made a thing. You're not ripping mine off. And
it's,
like, I could sell myself on that. I'm sorry, I
honestly could too, because if all those other guys know he has a wire, why would they rip the jersey off?
How dumb are you?
Right?
Like, how dumb are we?
They wouldn't do it. Because somebody's going to be signaling them with him, right? Yeah. They have to know.
Let's get back to the calls with you guys. Josh is in Rhode Island. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So my issue with Jim Crane is when he talks about that it had no impact on the game, I don't understand. I don't know any business out there that would change their process and go through the whole idea of changing whatever process it is that makes you successful for something that's not going to reap you any benefits. I mean, you might think it's going to reap benefits, but I feel like what's happening is a compartmentalizing here, is what they're doing is they're separating the idea of sign stealing and the saying, everybody does it, to, hey, we're stealing signs in real time and relaying it on the field. They're making it sound like what they did wasn't bad, only focusing on the sign stealing. But my problem is, if it didn't benefit you, why would you do it?
It's a risk-reward thing, right?
No, but I think everyone would say it benefited them.
Yes.
But did it benefit them to the point that's why they won? To me, that's where you differentiate. It impacts the at-bats. It impacts the overall process.
Yeah.
But if the opponent was doing something similar, then did it impact the outcome? That's where you can't answer that. If you believe, like I do, that a large chunk of Major League Baseball was doing something comparable. Maybe not quite as good. Maybe the Astros really fine-tuned it.
But I do think it's where the if you're the best at it, you do get punished more. That's just how it is because, you know, if you're going to be the one that everybody's going after.
Right.
The Patriots have been dealing with for 20 years.
Well, how about a texter who says if you really cared about cheating, you'd demand that Jastrzemski and McNally come out of hiding and tell their story. And let's be honest, even if I think that the whole Deflategate saga was BS, the fact that these two went into the federal witness protection program and nobody's seen or heard from them since at least leads people to wonder what went on.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Especially given the text and the deflator.
No, the text
and
to me was all I needed.
You're
going to
have a balloon this week and all the various comments
that's
through
all
there.
That's all I needed. But.
How would you explain that? It's just like if we could get Jim Crane. I mean, okay, I don't think you couldn't have possibly gotten to the position you're in by being a complete boob.
I don't know. I think you probably could have.
Yeah, I think his dad had a lot of money.
Oh, he inherited it?
I think so. I believe that's what it was.
Like Mark Davis in Oakland.
Like many owners.
But I just feel like it's so dumb that there has to be a reason if you got him in a... Like, what did you mean when you said it impacted and then you figured out you got caught?
Do you think there's a chance he really didn't know?
Sure.
Because I think on a day-to-day basis, as an owner, some owners are further away from it, right?
Entirely likely.
Because why would you... First of all, why would you tell him? And then second of all... Some owners might show.
Obviously, gonna be careful if they do have wires.
So he
on
may not
something.
Have known, but it's still so weird to me that you know one report is telling us that it is a player-driven scheme, and then players aren't issue at all, right? Like all of a sudden, don't worry about the players, leave the players out of this. You know they got nothing to do with it. They're not going to get punished. Everybody's going to be fine.
Well, that's where the Carlos Beltran thing. He was a player.
Right, that's why I don't
fired
get that.
As
he was the
40-year-old player
who was really making everybody do this.
He and Alex Cora were apparently the ringleaders of this whole thing.
But as a manager, he's fired. I was a player back then. Like, you know, you did it as a minor. You know, in the real courts, I committed the crime as a minor. Well, I was a minor. I always did the crime as a minor. He was convicted as a minor and then charged it as an adult. Beltran. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Well, it's the Mets who decided. I mean, I don't think Major League Baseball made them fire Carlos Beltran because they didn't punish any players.
I think they did.
I do.
I think they knew how much of a ringleader Beltran was, and you can't have Cora and Hinch not managing, but Beltran managing. I think it was just a bad look. They didn't want any of those guys in charge of any teams this year.
I think this was all orchestrated by Manfred, and that's why I think in the end it could cost him his job.
Did I read the
continues to just burn and get bigger?
Did I read the Cody Bellinger quote on the air or off
no,
the air?
No, you should.
Okay.
Off the air.
Okay.
So, but it was good. It was really good. Yeah.
Sorry, audience, you missed the quote of the year.
You guys will have to find it somewhere. No, there's no audio of it yet. So Cody Bellinger said today, quote, "I thought Manfred's punishment was weak. Giving them immunity," obviously talking about the players. Said, "I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 2017. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us." That's pretty sad. I mean,
well, they know now.
You know what? I can absolutely make an argument that Altuve stole an MVP award from Judge.
Definitely.
I can make that argument.
Stole a batting title, had the most hits. Not that that's as important as an MVP, but
it's
all
harder for me probably to make an argument that they wouldn't have won the World Series if they weren't doing this. I don't know.
Oh, I don't think they
would
have.
Well, I don't know either.
I don't think they would have.
What if Judge knew what pitches were coming, too?
Yeah, good point.
Plays for the Yankees.
Good point.
Yeah, but you keep saying that because I know you firmly believe it.
I do.
I don't know it, though.
Oh, I don't know for sure, but I believe it.
Until we know that, as of right now, I would say I think Altuve, Bregman, and Springer are really good. I think that they are. Like, I don't know how much of this has made them better. And that's why this year is going to be pretty telling. And those guys could just have a down year, like because they have a down year, but aren't you going to look at it and say, what the hell? In fact, 2017, Jose Altuve hit almost 50 points higher than he did last year. And last year, a lot of people think that this was kind of out of the game. Like they kind of had clamped down on it a little bit in 2019. The Astros did not win the World Series, and Jose Altuve hit just under 300 compared to 346 a couple of years ago. So I don't know if those are related.
617-779-7937. Phil's up in Maine. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep. Sure.
Hey, so, you know, earlier you guys talked about the whole Myles Garrett interview. When I watched that with my significant other, we were sitting there. She has a, it's a real romantic thing.
Seems it,
Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, and she has a background in
psychology and stuff. So when we have conversations, I just use sign language.
Smart.
That way I don't have to, the nonverbal keys and all that stuff. But anyway, so that's exactly what she was doing. She was watching that, and I'm watching it. You know, and Andy earlier said, oh, yeah, he's facing the camera and everything. When we watched that video and everything, at the end of it, she's like, that guy's screwed. And I was like, why is that? She's like, not one bit of his nonverbals. He gave off so many different inflictions from pitch and everything. Every time he was questioned, every time he was talked to about the N-word, the use of it, when he heard it, he never kept eye contact. He always broke away one way or the other. He was fidgeting, you know, all kinds of different keys. She's like laying out to me, and she's like, so quite honestly, guys, she's like, yeah, I think he has a major problem, possibly some legal action if Mason Rudolph decides he wants to go down that route.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because Michael McCann, again, I go back to him, wrote that Mason Rudolph might actually have a lawsuit available to him here.
Yeah, but how do you, I mean, unless he has the audio that Myles Garrett says, how do you prove you didn't say it?
You don't have to. He has to prove you did.
Yeah,
you don't have to prove you're innocent.
Because it's just
defamation? He has to prove you're guilty.
Right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, well, he's saying a slander lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
And doesn't that have to?
And by the way, it is slanderous if it's untrue.
But doesn't that have to cost you money or impact you financially?
Oh,
but you can make the case that it would.
If you get labeled with that,
yeah, it would. You think you're going to get any sponsorship deals?
Now, I would say you didn't get them because you suck.
Listen, I know that's what you would say, but if you're him and his lawyer, you could say, well, of course,
I'm the defense attorney. You got replaced by a duck.
Oh, that guy's a good quarterback.
That's what I would say. You suck. If you threw touchdowns, maybe we'd have something here.
The problem here is...
I wouldn't get a chance if I wasn't labeled.
The problem here is if Myles Garrett's not telling the truth, just because Mason Rudolph's not that great a player, he should just grin and bear it?
No, I don't think he should just grin and bear it. I'm just saying I think it would be hard to necessarily win and get a settlement that, oh, it cost me $10 million in career earnings because you said this. Now, the audio is the key. If there's audio that exists anywhere, that's the key to this. If we can all hear it, assuming it's not like that other thing, and we say, did he say it?
What did he say? Yeah.
What did that say?
It's a Yanni Laurel situation.
Yeah, it's going to be an ugly situation because I think a lot of people are going to be predisposed based on their backgrounds or their ethnicity, their race, to believe a certain side, right? There's going to be certain people that believe Mason Rudolph, maybe teammates. I knew him. I went to Oklahoma State with him. And people like Myles Garrett.
Well, what McCann says, and I'm quoting, he says, Garrett has accused Rudolph of one of the most incendiary claims that a person can make about another. So this has become a very different situation for Rudolph with a different type of injury, reputational. Rudolph might now rethink the appropriateness and wisdom of turning to the legal system. Because at one point, McCann said, could he sue him for assault? Could he?
You know, and I thought that was outrageous. And, I know that was an option, but I thought that was dumb.
McCann agreed and said no.
Yeah, right.
But he said, but suing Garrett for slander?
Yeah, this is different.
And play the game here. You didn't say it.
Right.
You know you didn't say it. Your teammates know you didn't say it.
But
and Garrett's using this as an excuse to try to justify what he did. And he's taken you down?
Oh, I would sue.
But if you want to go to court, and then if you're Mason Rudolph, you also need to be pretty confident that you have never said this ever, because somebody else could find it, right?
Yeah.
And it won't be on the field, but like, he's got a track record, or look at his tweet when he was in eighth grade, or like all this stuff that people go through and find. And if you're clean, then go for it. Go
and
in. That's what I was saying about Garrett. If this is true, then say it. And if you're Randolph or Rudolph now and this didn't happen, then go ahead and fight it. But just be prepared. Myles Garrett's side, he's going to hire some crazy lawyer as well, and they are going to find every little thing that you have ever said in your life, and then, hey, it's supposed to be about the game.
No,
it's not, but we know there's a track record
of him saying this stuff. I actually think they might do just that, and let's say they find some, you know, tweet when you were an 18-year-old where you quoted some rap lyric and dropped it in.
They will.
Then it's going to be a simple, what does that have to do with what you said he said in the football game?
Right. Now,
some people say that word, some people don't. And if you find any place where he did once, even if he didn't say it on the football field, I would view him as guilty.
But just because I'm not sure he would win a financial settlement, if he is 100% sure I didn't say that, I would sue. And just for the court of public opinion, for that whole theory that if you're really innocent, you should do it.
And I actually think that if he had thought about it then and said, you know what, I'm going to let it go. And then all of a sudden this shows up yesterday.
Yes.
And he's going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's saying this again?
Yeah, back on. Yep.
I, I think I'd consider it if I was him as well.
I would. I think I would lose in court, but
maybe
I might feel better about myself.
617-779-7937. We'll do our Kiefer Madness Week in Review at the bottom of the hour. It's Dale and Hart with Keefe Sports Radio, WEEI.